Spend the day driving around Los Angeles, and you might pass by the county courthouse or the historic Spanish colonial-style YMCA building south of downtown. Or maybe you're driving down the 405, and you see this stately white mausoleum in the middle of Hillside Memorial Park, where I met photographer Jonna Ireland.
We're in the Rotunda of Adoration, which is the first structure that you see when you're looking at the building from far away.
We have a pretty open view of the 405 freeway from here. We're perched on a hilltop.
As different as these buildings I mentioned are, they are all designed by the same architect.
A lot of people haven't heard of Paul R. Williams, and that's something that I hope that my work plays at least a tiny part in changing.
For the last 4 years, Ireland has been working on a book of photographs called Regarding Paul R. Williams. Williams was the first certified black architect west of the Mississippi. He's famously known as the architect to the stars because he designed the homes of white celebrities like Lucille Ball and Frank Sinatra. But Ireland writes that one of the most defining characteristics of Williams as an architect was his dexterity. He designed thousands of structures in L.A., not just mansions for the rich and famous, but also city buildings, churches, banks, tract homes, and public housing projects. And as Ireland learned more about his story, she felt a growing personal connection to him.
When I began reading about what he had to do to become successful and to maintain his success, I was sort of angry on his behalf.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Well, there's the story about how he learned how to draw upside down so that white clients who were uncomfortable wouldn't have to sit next to him, or that he walked around construction sites with his hands behind his back so that no one would feel pressured to shake his hand if they didn't want to. And I thought a lot about the indignity of that.
When Williams was in school, he dreamed of becoming an architect, but his white teacher discouraged him, telling him white people would never hire him and black people could never afford him. A similar conversation unfolded decades later in a classroom in Philadelphia, where a teenage Ireland dreamed of attending NYU to study photography. She shared those plans with her teacher, who was also white.
And he said that it wasn't a place for people from humble beginnings. And I've thought a lot about whether he meant that it wasn't a place for me because I'm black, but it was something that almost affected the rest of my life. I almost didn't apply.
But her mom pushed her to apply anyway, and she went on to earn a photography degree at NYU. Today, black identity is a major theme she explores.
In my work, though I'm happy when all different kinds of people appreciate it, I feel as though I'm making it for black people. I feel as though when I take a portrait of myself, I'm making it for a girl who is like I was and needs to see herself reflected in art. And the Paul Williams work feels like an extension of that process for me.
Ireland writes there's a great irony underlying much of Williams's work. You see, a vast number of the homes Williams designed stood in neighborhoods he wasn't even allowed to live in because racially restrictive covenants were attached to property deeds. They banned non-whites from living in much of L.A. In fact, when black service members returned to Los Angeles after the Second World War, there wasn't enough affordable housing for them. And Paul Williams helped change that.
I love all these trees that line this whole street. It's like a tunnel. What kind of trees are these?
I believe that they're willow trees and that the neighborhood itself, Willowbrook, was named after these trees.
Oh, I love that.
A black real estate agent named Velma Grant anticipated that many black veterans would have trouble finding places to live. So she bought up land here in South LA for tract housing and hired Williams to design the homes.
Every house is different. It's not a cookie cutter street.
Yeah, I think that's the stereotype, that you drive into a neighborhood of tract homes and you never find the house you're looking for,
right,
or find your way out again.
Yeah.
But here, each house has its own personality.
Paul Williams adamantly believed good design wasn't just for the wealthy. It was for everyone, despite race or class. So he gave each home here in Carver Manor a unique look. Some with slanted roofs, some with bay windows, some with stucco facades, but everyone had a well-manicured lawn.
I mean, as we've been talking about Paul R. Williams today, I'm struck that he made grand homes for movie stars, but he also designed streets like this, full of single-family homes for middle-class people. What do you think that reach tells us about Williams?
I think it tells us that to him, there was no project too small or no project too big. He could design something like a public housing project, which serves a part of society that maybe other architects wouldn't have been interested in.
In 1948, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that racially restrictive covenants were unconstitutional. That decision allowed black families to move into parts of L.A. that had previously shut them out. One of those neighborhoods was Lafayette Square, west of downtown.
I love all the palm trees around here. Different heights and varieties of palm trees. That caught my eye right away.
It's a quiet patch of stately houses. Cypress trees and palm trees loom over wide sidewalks and expansive lawns.
Lafayette Square is like an urban oasis to me.
That's Lauren Smith. Her grandparents had asked Paul R. Williams to design a home for them here. And now Smith lives in that house. It's a contemporary two-story home with clean lines and a long stone pathway cutting through a neatly trimmed lawn. Smith's grandmother was an activist in the black community, and her grandfather was a physician.
Acquiring land as a brown-skinned black man, no matter if he was a doctor or not, or was qualified or not to get a loan or anything else, was not as easy, right? And sometimes unheard of.
But her grandparents were able to purchase a plot of land with the help of a family friend. And in 1954, Smith's grandparents, Pearl and J.P. Taylor, moved in. That's when the phone calls to Dr. Taylor began.
My grandmother actually recounted that he received calls from people that warned him that black people were moving in. Now, they hadn't met him, so of course they just called and said, Dr. Taylor, you should be aware, you know, be careful because Negroes are moving into the area.
Wow.
And he said, is that so? And went on about his business.
The house has been in their family ever since, and the architect, Paul R. Williams, eventually designed his own home right around the corner. Smith says seeing successful black families move into beautiful homes like this all around Lafayette Square, that was such an important part of what Paul Williams left behind for generations of black people in L.A.
I feel like I'm part of a revolution. You have highly educated, very proud black people. You know, they left the South, and then you come to Los Angeles and you realize you still can't live where you want to live most times. So you decide to create your own. And that's what they did. They forged a way out of no way.
Jonna Ireland, who met Lauren Smith while photographing her house, says that idea, forging a way to elevate the black community, that idea is visible in all of Paul R. Williams's work, even in the homes he designed for white clients.
There's definitely a subversive element to him designing these spaces that are for white people, but that will always have been designed by him and planned by him. That means that there is always a degree to which they're black spaces too.
And that is perhaps the most enduring legacy Paul R. Williams built in Los Angeles.